Welcome to another episode of the Mavericks and Misfits podcast. Today we're going to explore the issue of living with a wounded soul. God intends for the spiritual part of who we are to become more central and more powerful than the physical aspects of who we are. Yes, there are components of who He has made you that are stronger than other components. When your soul gets damaged, it impacts everything. Each of us has the option of becoming whole in the soul. Let's go to Jeff, who is ready to help us.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Mavericks and Misfits podcast. Thanks for tuning in today. Not sure where you are watching or listening, but just grateful to have a few moments to be able to pour into you a little bit. I got something on my heart that I'm going to share with you here in just a moment. But first, let me welcome those of you who are the first-time viewers or first-time listeners. We've been doing Mavericks and Misfits for about 5 years, and what you see is what you get, or what you hear is what you get. We just love to bring kingdom to people, to help maybe unpack some things that are going on in the minds of believers. And listen, we welcome everybody to listen, but most of what I talk about is believer to believer. And so if you're not a believer, if you're not a follower of Jesus, I'm glad that you've tuned in, especially because you'll be able to hear some of the things that Christians believe, and hopefully you'll be able to hear them without all of the, let's just admit it, the nonsense and the silliness and a lot of tradition, a lot of error, a lot of hype that's going on in American Christianity. And one of my goals is to never present that underbelly of Christianity to anybody, whether you're a believer or not. I just kind of, let me just give you a piece of my testimony. Like, I grew up in the church in the Bible Belt. So I was one of those Southern boys in the 70s and then into the very early 80s who grew up in church. I went to Sunday school. I memorized Bible verses, went to VBS, all that stuff. And it was actually a very positive experience for me coming from a broken home. I think early on, the church became kind of like an adopted family to me. But the fact of the matter is somehow I never really gave myself to Christ. I did believe. I had a lot of head knowledge. I had a lot of stuff by an early age, and God had even back then given me a pretty good mind. And so it wasn't an issue of not knowing what was true. The issue for me was rebellion. And so I wanted my sin. I wanted to live in self-pity. I wanted to live in brokenness, and I didn't want to have any kind of expectations put on me as a young boy and a teenager. So I was one of those little rebellious little church kids. And sadly, I left the church around age 14. And honestly, I think I had good churches. I know I had good people pouring into me, but the gospel never really impacted me. And I'm not going to put the blame for that on anybody. I just never got it. I know the gospel was presented to me, but the fact of the matter is I never connected with what a man 2,000 years ago, who I did believe was the Son of God, dying on a cross had to do with me. I just couldn't connect the dots until much later in life. And so around the age of 24, that is when I finally hit my rock bottom. And as I hit my rock bottom, I recognized my desperate need for Jesus. But I had to go back, you know, through a decade of trying to figure out, who is this Jesus? And again, all of that Bible data that I had acknowledged, it was all true. But here's what kept me from experiencing, if I can say it this way, the benefits of what Jesus did and who Jesus was. I didn't want to repent. And so by the age of 24, you know, God has a way of letting you get your fill of what you thought you wanted. And by the age of 24, I'd find myself bound to alcohol, really bound to drugs, and just living in about a decade of misery, and I couldn't go any further with it. And so there was a kind of a pathetic yet dramatic surrender of my life to Jesus Christ in August 4th of 1994, and just experienced a radical overhaul. And I will tell you, it was the most non-religious conversion you'll ever see. It was just a broken man, young man, crying out, "God, I've ruined my life." And there was a man who had been witnessing to me at work for about 2 years. And I said, "Lord, that preacher at work told me that if I gave you my life, you'd save me." And I literally said this: "I don't care if you save me or you kill me, but God, I am done running from you." That was the moment of my conversion. Not exactly what they tell you to do in training for evangelism and witnessing and stuff, you know, but that was my rock bottom moment. And Jesus met me at my rock bottom. Jesus met me as a destitute, broken, confused, I think suicidal, homicidal tendencies, full of rage, full of depression, could have been clinically diagnosed as maybe whatever. You know, they could slap you with 100 diagnoses now. But I was just a mess. And so when I had that experience with Jesus in August of 94, everything changed. I was instantly delivered from drugs and alcohol, like instantly. Never was an issue in my life again. And so coming out of that, I knew something had happened, but I didn't know exactly what it was. And so to truncate the story a little bit, I, of course, ended up in a church and wonderful, loving people. But it wasn't too terribly long after being a part of that church that I realized I was hearing a lot of things from the teachings and from other Christians that were preached as if they were absolute dogmatic truth. And yet, as I became a devouring student of the Bible, I couldn't find a lot of those things that I was hearing anywhere in the Bible. And it was man's laws and man's traditions and man's ways and Southern religion. And it didn't take me long before I was kind of over that. And I just became a student of the Word. I stayed in that church because the church, to me, was a family and a community, and the people were very loving. I just think that they had been taught wrongly, and therefore it was perpetuating itself. Many years later, in 2002, by God's strange providence, I became the lead pastor of that church. And my commitment from day one, and it still is today, was give them truth. Give people truth. Don't saddle them with any kind of man's traditions in the place of truth. All traditions aren't bad. Traditions are bad when they become more important than the truth. And so I came to that place where I was like, I'll never do that. And so I've kept my word to the Lord for all of these years, and the Mavericks and Misfits podcast that you're watching or listening to right now, our larger ministry that's called Transforming Truth, I call it the umbrella ministry, and Mavericks and Misfits fits under that. We do a lot of missions work overseas. Those ministries, and anywhere, you know, I led Meadow Baptist Church from 2002 till 2021, and we went through a couple of mergers. We became New Bridge Church, and it's now called Gate City Church in Lawrenceville, Georgia. And but the whole time, my thing has been, people want to know what's true. I think this generation wants to know what's true. They would rather you tell them what's true and give them a chance to reject it than to package something with a little truth in it, but it's got a hook in it, and it's kind of like they know you're not quite coming clean and telling the truth, and that they feel manipulated. There's no respect for Christians and leaders that do that. So I'm just going to be that guy. I'm going to be that guy that says, here is the actual truth from the Scripture. You are going to have the freedom to say yes to it or no to it. I'm not going to manipulate you. I'm not going to shame you. I'm not going to guilt you, but I'm also not going to back off what is true. I'm going to tell you, that sounds really heroic and everything. That sounds like, wow, you know, that's wow. What a person of courage or a man of valor. Well, let me be just completely honest with you. It's actually angered more believers than it has non-believers. Because when you don't toe the company line, when you just say, hey, look, I know our denomination, I'm a non-denom guy, I'm not in a denomination, but when our denomination believes this, but the Bible says this, we have choices to make. When the church longstanding bylaws that you're a part of say this, but the Bible says this, somebody has to raise their hand and say, hey, why the discrepancy? And that'll make you some pretty quick enemies, and sadly, I've had my fair share of that. Why am I telling you all of this? Well, I'm not just simply explaining what we do at Mavericks and Misfits. I'm trying to impart to you a little bit of who I am. And the reason for that is I even want you to kind of hold me to what I'm telling you today. Do I tell the truth? Do I open the Word of God and say, this is what the Bible says? When there is a debate, or, you know, sometimes we Christians are famous for this, an argument about something theological, then do we come around the actual Bible? Not what someone says that the Bible says, but do we actually look into the Word of God and say, this is what the Scripture says, we will align to it? And I think if you can do that, and if in any way this podcast or Transforming Truth or, you know, the things that I preach in Antioch Outpost now, if we can do that, if we can just say, hey, guys, what does the Bible say? We're brothers, we're sisters, we have the same Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're a forever family. We're going to be best friends in heaven. You know, can we just open the book that he gave us? where he reveals his actual will, can we just get around that and say, well, this is what the Bible says, therefore we're going to believe it. And if that means we have to make changes, if that means we have to repent, if that means we have to say, I've been wrong, then we're going to do it. And I hope that I'm able to impart that to those of you that watch and listen. And so anyway, I'm just super grateful that you tuned in today. Before, I really just want to give you one verse that I want to talk about today. I'm going to get to it in a moment. A couple of things that are going on. We wrapped up another year of Kineo Ministry Training Center. What an incredible year. Right now, the registration is open. If you want to become a student at Kineo Ministry Training Center, year one, year two, year three, year four, we've got a degree program. We've got multiple professors. Of course, Dr. Karen Smith is the founding president of the school going back 13 years ago, and how that school has just grown and evolved. Right now, I think we're around 60 campuses all around America. That's amazing. That we have a couple that are actually overseas, Australia and in Kenya. And we're just so blessed to be able to reach people with theological training, not just doctrine, but training. How do we do life? And so years one and two are just basically foundational truths to Scripture, filled with passion, taught mostly by Dr. Karen Smith, the best teacher I've ever sat under in my life. She's phenomenal. Such precision with the Word and such passion. And she's going to help you fall in love with Jesus. And then you get into year three and you have this beautiful combo of Dr. Philip Fields, who pastors down a little bit south of the airport in Atlanta. Brilliant man. Pastor's heart, but also very apostolic and mission-oriented. And he's partnering this year with Apostle Alexander Pagani, who most of you who listen to this podcast, you saw that interview, I don't know, a month ago on this program. And Pagani is just a guy who goes hard after the demonic realm, and he teaches you how to war in the spirit. He teaches you how to walk in authority. He teaches you how to come out from under all the things that the enemy throws at you. And there are other things he can give you from, you know, wisdom about living, ministry, taking territory for the glory of God. But what an incredible addition to our faculty. I teach most of year four, and then we have adjunct professors. You got Matt Scott, you've got Sarah Sutherland, you've got my dear friend Paul Johnson that teaches, and Jake Cale. And we're just so blessed to bring in a robust faculty. I want to encourage some of you, listen, I think now is the time for you to start investing heavily in your own discipleship. You're a steward of your own edification, and some of you need to go to Kineo MTC. It's a weird name because it literally comes from a word, and it's talking about kinetic energy, Kineo. But let me spell it for you. It's K-I-N-E-O, Kineo MTC.com. And if you'll go to our revamped website, if you haven't been to the website in a long time, go back to it. We just relaunched a new look. It's amazing, so much easier to navigate. But go to KineoMTC.com. Find out how you can begin a deeper pathway of discipleship. You've got to invest in your walk. You know, I know people have spent $1,000 on a purse, but when they're talking about $1,000 or whatever it is, it's not even $1,000, I don't think, for a year of biblical education, they about choke. Invest in your journey with Jesus. Invest in your soul. And a lot of people would say, well, Jeff, I can't go to a classroom. I'm busy. I have these things in my schedule. I get it. So we make it very convenient. You can do it on demand, work at your own pace. You got a year to finish the year's worth of course. You do it whenever, wherever you are. And you can do it online, of course. And online has a couple of different branches. You can do live online. And when you do live online, that means while we're in the classroom, we're live streaming to wherever you are. And so that happens on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We finish up around 9. And there are also campuses everywhere. You can check the website, see if there's a campus near you. And then, listen, there are just so many options. Why? We actually believe in making disciples because a man named Jesus told us that's what our mission is. And we can make the disciples. I mean, I'm telling you, we can make the disciples, but you have to present yourself as available. So go to KineoMTC.com, get registered for the upcoming school year. It's going to be an amazing year, and we would love the opportunity to pour into you. If you've got questions, the contact information is there on the website. And then so much else is going on in the kingdom. What an interesting time to be living. One of the things that Amy and I are doing, Amy is my wife, if you're a first-time viewer, she is the most beautiful and wonderful human being that has ever walked the face of the planet, and she's mine. So I'm so grateful for my wife, but we're also partners in ministry. You know, we're our kids are adults. We're grandparents now, and Amy and I are getting some bandwidth back to do ministry together. And we have a piece of property that's about 3,000 square feet, maybe 2,800 square feet. We are in the process of turning that into what I'm calling a kingdom center. We got to figure out what to actually call it, but right now I'm calling it a kingdom center. And one of our burdens is to pour into 20-somethings. We used to host 20-somethings in our home. It was an amazing time in our lives, but we moved to a new place and went through life seasons where we couldn't host in our home anymore. But now we've got this piece of property. It's a 2,800 square foot building. We are, as I am speaking right now, in the process of renovating that thing. It is going to be a place where we host people. We do discipleship. We do training. We do worship. We do teaching. We are going to have it as a prayer center. And it's not exclusively for 20-somethings, but we're going to be strategizing for a way to regularly host 20-somethings. Building will probably fit. I don't know, man. If we cram everybody in there, probably a couple hundred people. And we are so excited about that. And I do want to submit to you that we are in the process of raising funds to do it, to get it completely done. We've got the drawings. We've got the county involved getting everything approved, doing it by the book. This is going to cost probably about $150,000 to $200,000. That sounds like a lot of money. It really isn't. There's probably 200 people watching or listening to this program that could donate $1,000. There really is, but we know that's not reasonable for most people. But if you are, and I very rarely do this, matter of fact, I think I've only done it twice, and I think both times it was for this project. If you are interested in helping me and Amy get this thing established and going, our goal is to have it up and running by September or October this year. So we got a lot of work to do. We're investing our own money into it, and so we're not asking you to consider doing anything we're not doing. But we're going to need some partners. We're going to need some help. And so if you're interested in it, and I'm going to be putting some stuff out on social media. If you follow me on Facebook, you can scroll through my timeline, and you're going to see some updates and the progress that we're making. But if you are interested, if the Lord's kind of like quickening this moment in your heart and you're interested in donating, you can do it at transformingtruth.org. I mentioned that earlier. That's our umbrella site. That is our 501c3. All of this is tax deductible. If you want to help us out, you can go to transformingtruth.org, and on the donate page, there is a selection that says, I think we called it when we posted it and put it on the website as an option for giving. I'm pretty sure we called it Prayer Chapel, something like that. You'll see it. It's either media that you're donating to, missions that you're donating to, most needed where you're donating to, and then there's a little one that says, I think it says Prayer or Training Chapel, something like that. It'll be obvious to you. I would so love it. I'm making a direct appeal for you to come alongside and help us get this bad boy done. It's going to be an amazing thing, and if you live locally, you can even come to it when we get it going. All right, so that was my longest intro in the history of Mavericks and Misfits, and I appreciate you. Let me tell you a little bit about who I am and why I do what I do, and a little bit about this new venture that we're on. But I do want to give you a verse that I woke up with today on my heart. I don't always have a big plan. This isn't like preaching a sermon to me. This is like me trying to connect more relationally, more one-on-one, more informally with those that are watching and those that are listening. But I before I got out of bed today, this old verse that I remember reading this 25 years ago, maybe 30 years ago at this point, and thinking, oh, that verse, it lodged in me as an important verse, but I didn't know how important it would become until much later in life. But I'm going to give it to you in several different translations. I'm going to do it for repetition. So let me grab your mind here for a second. I'm going to get your mind, and then I want your spirit to come in, because this verse is going to be incredibly important for some of you right now to consider. Okay, what verse is it, Jeff? It is Proverbs 18:14. I'm going to read it to you in a couple of different translations off my iPad. So in the NIV, Proverbs 18:14 says this: the human spirit can endure in sickness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? New Living Translation: the human spirit can endure a sick body, but who can bear a crushed spirit? The ESV, which is the English Standard, that's what I usually teach and preach out of. It says, a man's spirit will endure sickness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? And then we have this translation called the Berean Study Bible. It says, the spirit of a man can endure his sickness, but who can survive a broken spirit. And the last one I'll give you is the one I learned it in originally. It says this, it's in the King James. Proverbs 18:14 in the King James, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear. That verse has meant so much to me during my lifetime, because there's a lot of things that even unregenerate people can plow through. A lot of things that Christians just can plow through. And it's specifically, the writer of the proverb is specifically talking about, and I'll keep it in the context of believers, when a believer is afflicted, when a believer is physical, when a believer has physical infirmity, is afflicted in the body, when they are sick, when they encounter disease, the Bible says the human spirit, the spirit of that believer, can bring them through that infirmity, that affliction, that sickness, that disease. Now, that in and of itself is kind of noteworthy, because the Bible's testifying here that your spirit, the spirit, that immaterial part of you, the eternal you, the part of you that's going to live forever, you're going to get a different body when you get to glorified, my Christian friend, when you get to glory. You're going to have a different body, but your spirit is who you are and who you're going to be forever. And the Bible is saying here, your spirit can get you through your physical affliction. And so the Bible highlights the spirit as more essential, potentially more powerful. And I say potentially because we're going to talk about why sometimes your spirit doesn't get you through your infirmity and sickness. We're going to talk about that. But the design of God is that your spirit would bring you through the physical. So let me give you just a kingdom key right here. The spiritual is greater than the natural. The spiritual is greater than the physical. The spiritual is the real you, your spirit. You are a spirit that is housed in a body. You're not a body. You're not primarily physical. You're primarily spiritual. But you have both components going on. And sometimes the physical undergoes terrible affliction, sickness, disease, injury, all of that stuff. And so the scripture's telling us in Proverbs 18 that there is a way to live from your spirit that will get you through that thing that is attacking you in the physical. Okay, then it asks the question, but what do you do if your spirit is sick or wounded or crushed? What do you do when your spirit is broken? That is the paradox presented in Proverbs 18:14, the paradox is we're supposed to live from the spirit, but if our spirit is wounded, if our spirit is damaged, if our spirit is crushed, then the very reservoir for the strength we're supposed to live in has an issue. Now, I want to be very careful here because there is this issue, and it's a theological issue that I am not going to get into today. The dichotomy view of the human existence versus the trichotomy view. Are we simply body and soul? Are we body, soul, and spirit? Are the soul and spirit the exact same thing? I'll just give you my answer. Maybe we'll cover it in detail in a different podcast. Your soul and your spirit are not the same thing. And so the Bible here is using the word spirit, but if I'm going to be theologically precise, it's really referencing the soul. And the soul is the thing in you that can get broken, it can get wounded, it can get crushed, it can get dented, it can get malformed through many different things. Your spirit cannot. And so just because some of you are very astute theological thinkers, I want to make sure you know that I'm not equating soul and spirit as the same thing. I would distinguish theologically that your spirit cannot be damaged, but your soul can. So if I'm going to be more accurate and clear here, this is an issue of what do you do with a hurt soul? What do you do when your soul's been dented, crushed, bruised, damaged, and it happens? It happens to Christians, it happens to non-Christians, and so what do we do? Well, I'm going to tell you today, there's healing. There's healing for your soul. that there are ways that your spirit, through the Holy Spirit, your spirit and Holy Spirit intertwined as one, can actually work on your soul. Do you remember David wrote in one of his Psalms, he said, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God." So David is speaking to his soul from his spirit. His soul was downcast, depressed, damaged, hurt. And he rises up and he gives voice from his spirit to his soul. He says, "Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God." And that is how our soul gets healed, because we have to bring our soul into the submission of our spirit. Now, I can't give you a 1, 2, 3. Matter of fact, I'll confess to you, when my soul has been wounded, when my soul has been bruised, when I have struggled in my soul as a believer, it usually isn't just, you know, making 3 declarations over myself, reading 9 verses that morning, praying in tongues, and then everything's fine. There's a process. Souls get damaged. Souls get damaged primarily in relationships. They can get damaged through trauma. Unexpected cataclysmic events that happen in life. Souls can get damaged in a multiplicity of ways. Word curses, things that are spoken over us, childhood neglect, abandonment issues, betrayal, even things that are so common as church wounds, disappointment from somebody that you had elevated up high, they failed you or they did something, and it damages the soul. And a lot of people, and I'm going to risk this, right now. I personally believe that a lot of people, many, many Christians, have just learned how to live with a bruised soul. They're not healed. There's a difference between being delivered and healed. My own personal testimony is that I was delivered instantly from drugs and alcohol the day I was saved. But I was not healed of all the trauma that I brought onto myself and the stuff I grew up with, things that had happened to me. I wasn't healed of that until many, many years later. And the salvation experience, where I'm justified before God and my sins are forgiven, didn't necessarily bring into full reality that I had no longer had a wounded soul. That's what the writer of the proverb is saying here. The writer of the proverb is saying that when your soul is wounded, you've kind of lost your ability to get yourself through. You struggle more than you should when your soul is wounded. When your body is sick, you can tap into the immaterial part of who God has made you. You can find God working in your spirit, and you can bring healing to your body. You can bring healing also to your soul. But if that part of you called the soul is deeply wounded, if your soul is sick, then how are you going to be able to endure? That is the question that the writer of the proverb is asking there. So here would be my question to all of you. Are you whole? Are you healed? Have you just learned how to stuff your trauma, stuff your deep, deep wounds, stuff the things from your childhood? So many of you were terribly treated as a child, or maybe even if not terribly treated, with violence or sexual abuse, but maybe there was neglect, maybe there was indifference, maybe there was abandonment. That was my wound. My mom left when I was 9 years old, and I just learned to live with the pain of abandonment. Didn't get fully delivered from it until, honestly, probably in my 40s. And I just learned to live with it, just to stoic stuff it down, ignore the pain. Ignoring the pain and ignoring the hurt isn't a cure. It's basically like going on a lifetime of medication for something that God wants to heal, except we do it in our soul, and we just stuff it down. We, you know, just move on. It's a part of our story. We're not going to look at it. We're not going to acknowledge it. We're going to press on. But to believe that that doesn't affect you is just naive. And so what does it mean? How do we get healed? How do Christians get healed? Well, again, I promised you, I honor you and love you too much to give you a 1, 2, 3, and boom, snap my fingers, and you're good. Thank you for listening to the wise sage talking on Mavericks and Misfits. That's just silly. I think there has to be such an utter desire and desperation for God to meet you at the deepest level. You have to literally repent of learning how to live stoically, or just kind of stuffing it and going on with life. You have to say, "Lord, I actually think that your death, burial, resurrection, and ascension to be back to the throne in heaven, I actually think you provided for me to be healed in my soul. I actually think that Jesus, you're a comprehensive healer. You're not just the great physician who heals my body. You are the wonderful counselor who can heal my soul. And when you recognize that there is a better option than just learning to live with it, because the fact of the matter is you may have learned to live with it, but our brokenness down to the soul level affects everybody around us. For me, as I couldn't bond. My wife would tell me, Jeff, you just don't know how to bond. And I'm thinking, I didn't know I wasn't bonding. And the reason why is because my bonding reflex was removed when my mom left and my family disintegrated. I mean, I lost it that young. Prior to that, I was very loving, very affectionate, very kind, but I got ambushed. And isn't that pitiful? I mean, it's just pitiful that part of me was still a little 9-year-old boy who said, whoa, when you love people, they leave. And so here I am married with kids. I'm, you know, adult. I'm in ministry. I'm pastoring. And it wasn't that I was negligent. I just didn't connect well. I was never violent. We weren't volatile in my family. But it was just kind of like a distance. And it affected ministry, all of that stuff. Now, that's just me being transparent, laying my out there in front of you. But I'm hoping to connect. What's your wound in your soul? I don't want to presume you have one, but have you explored it? It usually manifests itself in dysfunctional, emotional, relational. Sometimes it's sinful habits that compensate to numb the soul. A lot of people in the church drink too much because they just don't want to deal with the wound. A lot of men, not just men anymore. I mean, I think the statistic is like, 1 out of every 3 women between the ages of 18 and like 35 are looking at pornography once a month, masturbating. And men, of course, we know the epidemic with that. I mean, it's more than 1 out of 2. It's more than 50% of Christian men are actively engaged in pornography. I wonder if these men and women have ever asked themselves why. Why do I look at it? Is it just primarily a sexual drive? I don't think so. I think there's a wound there that the issue of pornography and the availability of pornography promises to meet you in some satisfactory way where you have moments of pleasure. And then, of course, the way the enemy works is as soon as it's done for the Christian, that Christian feels shame and brokenness. But here's the thing. Why? Why do we turn to alcohol? Why do we turn to mind-numbing things? Why do we turn to workaholism? Why do we turn to pornography? Why? Well, there's a deep wound in the soul. And the Lord has the desire to be the one who brings you all pleasure, all satisfaction in himself. And I'm going to tell you, it's real. He actually does it. Like, you can be completely healed of these things that have continually tripped you up and this thing that you've learned to live with. And getting through your physical afflictions and getting through these temporary, natural battles and stuff, you do it through the Spirit, not just through the Holy Spirit. Your Spirit's got to be involved. Your will has to be involved. You have to be involved. And so I think what I'm going to do today, and I don't want to ever frustrate you, but I'm not Jesus. I'm not God. I'm a messenger. And in very many ways, I feel like the assignment on my life is to point you, very much like John the Baptist did. John the Baptist wasn't the rescuer. He wasn't the savior. He made that very clear. He's saying, my job is to prepare the way for the one that you need. And so what I'm trying to do to you today, and it's really on your behalf, I'm just trying to say, is there a deep, deep wound that you don't have healing for? Is there something that here you are in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, and you know it's there, and you may even know the cause of it, but you just don't believe God can do anything with it? I just kind of come in power, just in a power moment, say, I reject that in the name of Jesus. I reject the fact that you are bound and enslaved to something that's happened in your life, and you can't get free from it. I don't believe that. That's not the gospel. What kind of king and lord and sovereign savior would he be if he looked at us and said, yeah, I can forgive you, but I can't fix you? A lot of people are saved, but not healed. And I don't think that that was ever the intention of the Lord. He doesn't want us to be subject to anything other than him, his grace, his love, his mercy, his truth, and his lordship. And so here's what I'm going to do as I end the podcast today. I'm going to ask you to get desperate. I'm going to ask you to get like super desperate in this season, not panicky desperate, but determined desperate, that says, the Lord Jesus Christ loves me so much that he's telling me I don't have to live with this wounded soul. I don't have to put up with this stuff cascading in a downward direction in my life in the natural. I don't have to live sick. I don't have to live depressed. I don't have to live angry. I don't have to live bound to greed and lust and trying to consume things in order for me to feel satisfied. I don't have to do that anymore. And if you can hit that desperate, determined place, then you turn to the Lord and you say, whatever it takes, Jesus. Whatever it takes. If I need to go to a Christian counselor, I'm going, Lord. If I need to go through inner healing, through Sozo or some kind of ministry, I'm going to do it, Lord. I'll do whatever it takes until my soul is healed. And when your soul is healed, there is very little in life that will intimidate you. There is nothing that has authority to defeat you when your soul, your spirit, your mind, your emotions are in alignment with the Lord. I make no apologies for statements like this. There is nothing in my life that has authority to defeat me. And though the battles are real, and though I am challenged constantly, and though, yes, there is a very real devil and a whole host of demons, immunity from the battle, we are not promised. Victory in the battle is what we're promised. And the desperate person that says, in the name of Jesus, I'm not going to live beneath the dignity and the promise that God has given me, I'm going to find my breakthrough. You're going to find it. You're going to win, and you're not going to be a slave to anything anymore. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for these that are watching and these that are listening. I'm asking you, God, to give me, to give them an ongoing hunger and thirst to believe that you will bring us into wholeness, that we don't have to live beneath the level that you've invited us to live at. I'm asking you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to reach through the screen right now and tell them this is their hour, this is their moment, it's time to get free. I'm asking you, wherever they're listening and driving or wherever they're listening to the audio, I'm just asking you, Holy Spirit, move right now. Give them hope, give them hope, give them hope. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, do for them what you have done for me, what you've done for Amy, what you've done for so many people that we do life with, who've said, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for forgiving me. But thank you, Lord, for making me whole. I want that to be their testimony. So, Father, I'm going to give you the praise and glory by faith that people that have listened to this episode are going to embark right now on it won't be this long, never-ending journey to wholeness, that you're going to meet them in their desperation, you're going to meet them in their dependence, you're going to meet them in their determination that this is their season to get free. I feel it happening right now for some of you. And so, Father, I'm going to give you glory and praise right now that it's coming and that their wounded soul will no longer be wounded, but their spirit will be strong and clean and will bring them through. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thanks for letting me share a little bit today. I hope you'll tune in next week. We drop a new episode on YouTube and on our audio streams. If you don't know about the audio streams, you can subscribe anywhere you listen to other podcasts. Just look for Mavericks and Misfits, Spotify, iTunes, whatever, Google. You can listen to the podcast there. It comes out every Tuesday. If you're listening and you didn't know about the YouTube channel, just look up Mavericks and Misfits podcast and subscribe to our YouTube page. Please, if you're actually watching on YouTube, would you do me a favor and subscribe to the page? It really helps us track what's going on with what audience, helps us to make decisions about where resources go. And if you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and do that. If you're listening, would you rate and review Mavericks and Misfits wherever you're listening, iTunes, Spotify? Give us a rating and a review. That just helps us reach more people. And again, if you would consider it, think about going to transformingtruth.org and making a one-time donation to this project that we're doing. doing. It's going to happen. Like, I'm not going to get on a podcast and lie to you. It is going to. Matter of fact, we've already started working. I've already sunk about $5,000 of my own money into it. And so it is happening. But man, I can't do it all by myself. And I just appeal to you as brothers, sisters, friends, and subscribers to the podcast. Help me out if you can, okay? All right, we'll talk to you next time on Mavericks Misfits. Signing off for today. God bless you.
If you are interested in contributing to the Prayer Chapel Shosh Training Center project, you can donate on transformingtruth.org or also utilize Cash App and Venmo to do so. Those tax-deductible donations can be made on Cash App by sending your donation to $transformingtruth. On Venmo, send your donation to @transformingtruth. To keep up with the project's progress, follow Jeff Lyle on his personal Facebook page. We will talk to you next week on the Mavericks and Misfits podcast.